In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Father did not thunder his approval as Christ lay in the manger. The heavenly dove did not take flight to guide the Magi to where Christ was. God certainly revealed himself at Christmas and at Epiphany, but he revealed himself through his creation, through angels and a star. But see the wondrous event unfolding before your eyes this day. The spotless lamb, pure and without defect, journeys toward the river. Now 30 years old, the time has come for him to be revealed to all Israel and to begin his public work. As the Holy God enters the Jordan, John tries to stop him, lest someone think that Jesus is a sinner in need of baptism. But it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness, Christ responds. And so the sinful prophet dunks the Holy Lord in the Jordan, pours water over his immaculate head, and lets it stream down his sinless back. And then it happens. Jesus immediately comes up out of that Jordan water, dripping in man's filth, covered in our sinful sewage, bearing the sins of the world. He's a substitute, revealed by God to be the Savior of the world, the lamb marked for slaughter, destined for a holy cross. And now the Father thunders his approval as his beloved Son bears the sins of the world. And now that heavenly dove takes flight, bursting through heaven's gates to come and rest on Jesus himself. His body is made the temple of the Holy Spirit, even as his divine nature is one with that Holy Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, he will go out to carry his work of winning man's salvation, defeating the devil in the wilderness and crushing his head on the cross. No angels, no star, but the Father and the Spirit reveal the Son as the Son of God, the substitute of the world, Savior of all nations. The Spirit comes down and remains on Christ so that through this same water the Spirit might be poured out on us. John came baptizing with water, but in John's own words, he will come baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. To baptize means to apply water. So it's through water that he gives the Holy Spirit. It is through water that he gives this heavenly fire. This signifies the inner working of the Spirit, the life-giving energy that the Spirit alone can give. For at his baptism, Christ hallowed and set apart all water to be a blessed flood and a rich and full washing away of sins. So what happened at Christ's baptism is exactly what happened at your baptism. As that heavenly dove came and rested on Christ, so he comes and rests on you. And he does not fly away, but he stays with you. And he brings with him all the gifts that Christ has won. You enter those waters as carnal children of Adam, sinners from birth, dead in your sins. And yet you emerge as beloved children of God, sons and daughters of the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. You are no longer of this world, but you have been born of heaven, born of water, born of the Spirit. You are what Christ is, because he became what you are. He has washed in your filth, so that you might be washed in his righteousness, and receive the anointing of heavenly glory. He also gives you forgiveness, the removal of punishment, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He gives you a community, and he gives you a partaking in an eternal inheritance. All that Christ has, the Spirit takes and pours out onto you in this heavenly bath. Cling to baptism, and you cling to Christ himself, and you must cling to Christ, for there is no one else. He alone is your Savior. Apart from him, you have nothing, you do nothing, you are nothing but heaps of sin. But through this bath, you have received the anointing of heavenly glory. You have received Christ himself and have been filled with the Holy Spirit, even as Christ was anointed with that Holy Spirit. What a great and mighty friend Christ bestows on us through these waters. What comfort to know that the Spirit fills your body and your soul to drive out every stain of sin, to stop the sinful desires of sin, and to raise up faith. He begins to renew your understanding and your will. He begins to renew the forces of your body and your soul so that that lost image of God might be restored in you. Now your spirit fights to constrain and subdue that sinful flesh because the Spirit himself lives in you. You do not act on every sinful impulse that arises in your heart, for you have been given the very mind of God himself. That heavenly dove has changed your heart and your mind, so what God wills, you also will. You are tied to him. You have been baptized. You have been washed. You have been anointed with this Spirit, and he now dwells in you. No longer is sin your master, but Christ is. No longer do you desire to carry out your internal cravings, for the Spirit has set your heart on things above, not on these earthly things. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Your sinful flesh is set aside in baptism. It is muffled and subdued so that it no longer gains the upper hand in your heart. What God wills, you will. What God desires, you also now desire. But be careful. I did not say that whatever you desire, God desires. For still your sinful flesh rises up and creates these ungodly desires in your heart. If you were to live only by your desire, only by what you feel and think is right, then you would not be living by the Word of God. For the Holy Spirit has begun this sanctification, this renewal in you, but it will not be complete until the day our Lord returns. So God remains your guide and your compass. He is the one who leads you and deters you from all sin, for he alone is the foundation of goodness and truth, not you. If baptism were only a dedication, that is something that you do for God, then the Holy Spirit would not be given. There would be no holy Christian church, and no one would be saved. For Jesus very clearly says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. On top of that, if baptism were only a dedication, something you do for God, then the Father would not have spoken and the Spirit would not have flown at Christ's baptism. For these two events show that baptism is not the working of man, but it's something that God does for you. For whatever happened at Christ's baptism is the same thing that happened at yours. So baptism is necessary for salvation because it bestows on you this Holy Spirit who rushes down upon you with all the gifts of Christ in tow. So who can stand against the one God has baptized? Who can conquer the one filled with his Holy Spirit? Who can demand anything from the one clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Who can burden the one God has washed clean? Who can accuse the one God himself has set free? No one. For in all these things you are more than conquerors, because baptism is not the work of man.